This is Byrne and Energy Journal. I'm Alex Chadwick.
Sea levels are rising for two reasons. First, the ocean gets warmer. Warmer water expands to fill more space than cooler water. And second, ice melting from glaciers and ice sheets on land. And nowhere is this a bigger factor right now than Greenland, which is why I thought of my friend, the writer Gretel Ehrlich. She's the author of several books on the Arctic Circle and Greenland and ice. Gretel, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Alex.
And to get to Greenland, she would need a radio producer, a radio person with her, and I happen to know one with some free time over the summer. Neil Conan, welcome back to Public Radio.
Thank you, Alex.
So, Neil, this was your first trip to Greenland, but Gretel, you've been there many times. What was different this time, Gretel?
Well, this time I got to see the whole anatomy of a glacier. We took a plane all the way to the top. It looked as if a hammer had been smashed down on top of the ice. It was just full of crevasses and all kinds of amazing designs pressed down by the great ice on the top of this island. At the bottom of the glacier were huge icebergs, 300 feet high, moving around. We took a boat among them. It was a gray, pale day, and the light was ghostly. Everything was dripping, just water pouring off the edges of these icebergs, and sometimes whole waterfalls just rushing down into the water of Disko Bay.
Neil, first impressions?
I'd never seen any place that looked like this, flying over the ice cap, this vast area. You thought it'd be white, but it was dusty and it was ashen. And then coming on this little fringe of rock, I had never seen an iceberg before. And every morning, looking out from the hotel room window and seeing these icebergs parading past along Disko Bay.
Okay, well, let's get to this story. Neil, take it away.
Disko Bay lies halfway up the granite coast of West Greenland, well above the Arctic Circle. There are no trees on the rocky shore, no bushes, just lichen and patches of grass. And just 2% of Greenland's vast area is bare land of any sort. The rest is covered in ice, 2 miles thick in some places. Offshore, icebergs parade past, dripping in the August sun. Tiny ones in impossible shapes, huge ones that loom more than 100 feet high. You can see some phenomenal pictures at our website, burnandenergyjournal.com. Large and small, they all squeezed out of the Ilulissat Ice Fjord, just south of here. That's an ice-choked waterway that runs deep inland, back to the face of Greenland's biggest and fastest-moving glacier. It's so breathtaking, it's been designated as a World Heritage Site by UNESCO and may be best appreciated from the air. We take off in a small plane from the airport in Ilulissat, turn inland, quickly rise over the ice sheet, and then over the ribs of the glacier, pushing ahead to the sea. There are pictures from the plane at the website, too, and Gretel's notebook. Here's an excerpt.
From here on, we'll follow the fjord out to the sea, the pilot says. 103 miles of ice rubble, a pushed carcass ribbed with turquoise. Down we go in the river of air, over the river of ice, a river that seems not to move at all, but does. Fingers of granite look liquid compared to the stuck ice, with its shining pools of open water on top. There's an ocean ahead, Davis Strait, where soon the ice will be freed to drift. An iceberg cracks open. Here we are, at the end of time.
After many years and dozens of visits to Greenland, Jason Box has become convinced that the ice sheet is melting a lot faster than most other scientists do. Some call his views alarmist, but he argues that his measurements are already well beyond the predictions of even recent models. Box is an American who lives now in Copenhagen, where he's a professor of glaciology at the Geological Survey of Denmark and Greenland.
Well, I started coming, and at that point, we weren't aware that abrupt climate change was really underway, and the last 2 decades then proved a very sharp rise in temperature that contrasted a lot with the previous century.
You say there are 66, 68, 69, 70 feet of sea level rise cooked into the system.
Yeah, the question then becomes, well, okay, how fast is sea level rising? You know, to be called alarmist is kind of true. You know, it's like, hey, guys, you know, this is a serious problem. But then we realize that the political system itself, it seems almost incapable of responding at the speed that we seem to need. That keeps me up at night.
We wanted to see and hear the ice as it crashes off a glacier. That process is called calving. It's not safe to go up the Ilulissat Ice Fjord. There's just too much ice there. So we joined 30 tourists on a day trip to a smaller glacier about 35 miles up Disko Bay.
That's ice being brushed aside by the bow of our steel-hulled ship, which has just left Ilulissat Harbor. We're on our way to Eki, which is known as the Calving Glacier, sailing through a sea that is just fantastic. Ice of every size and shape, huge icebergs that our vessel dodges carefully around, and, well, all kinds of little ones that we brush through like a slushy. And by lunch, we've reached the serrated face of the glacier, which stretches, it's got to be half a mile across and hundreds of feet high, right on the water. Whole sections of the glacier face just fell away into the sea. Huge waves now rocking the boat. There's more. Great chunks of ice fell into the water, then raised up again like a broaching submarine to float as small icebergs. With each boom and crack, a bit more of Greenland's ice falls into the sea. And those snaps, and those pops, that's the sound of it melting.
Global warming means boom times here in Ilulissat, Greenland's third largest town with a population of 5,000, perched on cliffs that overlook a small harbor. More open water means more opportunity to fish. This summer, the local fishermen reached their limit on halibut early and looked on suspiciously when a big Russian trawler dropped anchor just outside the harbor. Cruise ships and planes bring in 10,000 tourists per year. The government sold licenses to drill for oil and gas offshore, though no one's hit the jackpot yet, and iron mines are opening up. But it's not boom times for everyone. Winters seem to be milder and more humid now, and the sea ice that carried the Inuits and their sled dogs for as much as 9 months of the year scarcely forms at all some winters. As Gretel wrote in her notebook, because that ice is gone, the four most northern inhabited villages of the world are all dying.
The children of the great marine mammal hunters there are being sent south to learn other trades. They have no future in the north. In one of those villages, Moriasuk, there were maybe 15 or 20 people when I visited in 2004. Quite lively place. Then, one by one, they left. Finally, there were two hunters left. They went out one morning. Accidentally, a gun went off and killed one of them. In remorse and anguish and pure loneliness, the other one turned the gun on himself. Moriasuk is no more.
Jens-Ole Somaisen grew up in Upanavik, a village a bit further south. He lives in Ilulissat now and makes his living as a boat captain, carting tourists among the icebergs. He takes pride in the way that Greenlanders have adapted to new conditions and new opportunities. He keeps a team of dogs in Ilulissat and hunts when there's ice.
My mother's father, he was my hero, because he always told me the dogs maybe will save my life. We was out on the sea ice, and he told me, now all the dogs spread out on the ice. That means we are on the thin ice, because dogs know to spread out, and when they act together, then ice will be safe. And I didn't know that.
And some people would say, we're all on thin ice now.
We are really in thin ice now, maybe because of the pollution of the air. Ice melt faster than before.
No one has studied Greenland's ice longer than Conrad Steffen, for many years a professor at the University of Colorado, now director of the Federal Institute for Forestry, Snow, and Landscape in his native Switzerland. He established Swiss Camp on the ice sheet in 1990 and added dozens of automated weather stations since then to measure the wind, the snow, and the melt. We caught up with him in a cafe in Ilulissat.
Last year was our maximum melt year, maximum since we make measurements, since 1979. And we know from satellite measurements that we lost approximately 450 gigatons of ice. It's very hard to think how big is 450 gigatons of ice, given the fact that I'm coming from Europe, I live in Switzerland. When we take all the ice in the Alps, the 450 gigatons of ice is five times the entire ice volume we have in the Alps. We lose on an annual basis now in Greenland.
And how much sea level rise does that mean?
Last year was an extreme, but if you take it over the last 3-4 years, close to 1 millimeter sea level rise comes from Greenland.
And that doesn't sound like a lot.
It does not sound like a lot, but we have to be aware when you talk about global sea level, that has very little meaning. Important is the local sea level rise. And locally, that can vary much by a factor of 2 or sometimes 3. And if you multiply 1 millimeter over 50 years, and then having a local effect that can easily make 0.5 meter sea level change in 50 years, which then has a major impact on the coastal regions of the world.
0.5 meter, about 1.5 feet, will devastate many coastal areas, and it won't stop there. Much, much more melt is inevitable in the centuries ahead, 70 feet more, if glaciologist Jason Box is right. And one more fact to consider. As the vast weight of all the ice on top of Greenland dwindles, the land below will start to lift. So Greenland will be one of the places least affected as the sea rises.
This is Bern, an Energy Journal.